You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Malibu, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right, yeah. One of the reasons we're speaking is you're going to be playing in Barcelona and Madrid in April. And I was wondering, what is your kind of live show like?
It's very much an experience, I would say. It's not only musical, but it's very, I'd say, visual up to a certain point. I mean, it's visual the whole time, you know, but it's, I guess at some point you just close your eyes anyway, and you kind of, it's visual within, I would say. Yeah, it's very introspective. Yeah, it's almost like entrancing, I would say. And the music is very much how I make mixes. I kind of, there's kind of no end or beginning of songs, you know, it's just everything blends very seamlessly together. Yeah, I don't know, it's very vague, but it is an experience, I'd say, that one should experience.
How do people tend to react?
I'd say, I mean, I've seen people cry. Or almost, you know, when you watch a movie, like a really good movie, really like you're really in it. And once it's like at the movie theater, and once it's over, you kind of don't want to speak to anybody. Like you just want to kind of walk home, like your hands in your pockets, and you feel like you're inside the movie or something. And I don't know, the air feels different, you know? So I feel like this is how people, or some people react to the concerts. So I like that.
Sounds lovely. I think I read that you talked about the fact you don't actually particularly like playing live. Is that still true, or have you come around to it? Or
I think I'm just kind of uncomfortable standing in front of people. And especially maybe since I'm not doing much, like with my body, you know, I'm just standing still. Then it feels very, you're like, oh my God, everybody's looking at me. I don't know. Like even more than if maybe I was dancing, or I don't know. It's just like, you know, being like hyper conscious of, oh, everybody's here in front of me. So it's just a bit uncomfortable, but I still, it's still like a very, like very strange moment for me. Like once I kind of get out of this, like, like super self-conscious moment, like thing, I feel like it becomes like almost like meditating actually, because I am super still, and I'm just looking at numbers on my like sampler, like just waiting for the next number to tap or whatever. And so yeah, that's all I see, just like glowing numbers. I'm just waiting for the next one. So, and yeah, I forget that I'm watch or whatever. Like it's not what matters really. I care that people can feel the music really.
You once described making music as Malibu as a kind of a diary for you. What did you mean by that?
Well, I meant what it means. It's, I guess, I mean, Malibu is kind of a silly name for just if instead of using my own name, you know, but it's still the music I make with that project. It is, that's the thing. It's not, I don't even consider it like a project. It's just me, I guess.
Right. Right.
As opposed to side projects that were more like outlets for, I just wanted to have fun, or I wanted to make whatever edit, or I didn't want to have like the pressure of my own life in a way, because yeah, as Malibu or just me, like I'm just, the music I make is based on my life and my whatever experience, whatever touched me, I guess, one way or another. So it feels like very, sometimes difficult to even work on, just because that implies going back. I don't know. I mean, it's literally like when you're writing your diary, and like, it really, like, it's one thing to feel something, but to like write about it, it feels like, oh, you know, like it's another drain, you know? So it feels like that.
How does it feel to then release it, knowing that other people are going to listen to it, are going to have access to something that is very personal for you?
I mean, I guess for any musician, the releasing part is always such a weird thing, because you know, you've been excited for a long time that it's finally out, but at the same time, it also means that it's not yours anymore. It's like for everybody to hear and see, and it's a, I think I always, it always makes me laugh or smile when I see like people being like, oh, you know, she's trying to do this, but it's not really, like, she's failing at achieving that thing she's trying to do. Or people love to overanalyze like music, or, but sometimes we're not trying to, or I don't, at least I'm speaking for myself, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just, this is what the music sounds like. And it's not like the best music. It's not, it's whatever. It's just like the, it's just music. I don't know. It's whoever it's going to touch, then I'm happy. And, but it's very strange to like see it being like just so overanalyzed, really. But I'm sure it must be the same for, like, you know, movie makers or writers. Like, sometimes you just want to tell a story. And yeah, so maybe it's deep and not that deep at the same time. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like maybe I am overanalyzing this, but I'm going to go for it. That it's like you almost you can't make something good or bad, if you see what I mean, because it's the way that it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about it being. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not trying to be anything. I guess that's my process with the albums I made. Or it's like if the initial thought of my process was, okay, I really want to make a pop album, or like a really, you know, if that was my, how I thought about it, then yeah, you can say, okay, I failed, or yeah, that's a great pop album, or, you know, but I'm pretty sure that for a lot of people, they just make, it's just whatever comes out, I guess. And then within that, of course, you try to make the best you can make, but that's so subjective, you know, like it doesn't mean anything. So anyway, I don't know if that answers.
It does. Yes. The question. Yeah. I mean, you talked about the various the fact you make music under various different artist names. Obviously, there's DJ Lost Boy, which is kind of feels more playful. And what I was really interested in Belmont Girl, which only exists on YouTube, and you called it straight up loops with lots of processing. That almost, is it kind of a release valve for you? Just something that's really fun to do and kind of simple.
Yeah. I mean, Belmont Girl, it was just because I had all these like slow-mo or like little shots of videos on my phone that only exist in my phone. You know, I'm sure everybody can relate. Like, you just take a video of, well, like you're landing in a plane, you know, and it's pretty, okay. But that only exists there, you know? And so I don't know. Simultaneously, I was just like making all these random edits, like kind of naturally within my radio show. And I was like, oh, I want to listen to just that part of the, like, even myself, I just want to re-listen to this. So it kind of just came like together naturally that it's just like a fun thing to do. And then by doing that in the first like uploads, then I was like, oh, this is nice. Like it kind of brought me like the feeling that I had in like 2014, like uploading on YouTube, you know, just very like uploading, you know, without really thinking. And so, and even musically, like back then, you know, you would post like fucking, sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
I said a bad word.
We're in Spain. Like, it's not a swear word here.
you would post on SoundCloud, like, you know, you would stay up all night, like make 5 horrible tracks and just post them. And so there's something quite liberating in that, especially today that everybody's feeling like they're being overlooked at. You know, you have to have like a sort of front of the shop, you know, like. So it just was very freeing to be very automatic about it. So my kind of rule for myself is whenever I do hear like something I want to sample or, you know, extend that feeling I get when I listen to whatever, I always tell myself, okay, I can only work on this for like max 30 minutes. And I have one like Logic file that's for all the edits. And I just drop the sample, do the thing. And if it takes me more than 30 minutes, then I'm just like, okay, no. I just quit. I just delete the track. And I, yeah. So it should be automatic. It should just be very fun, basically. And like my, I guess my love for whoever I'm sampling or, yeah.
I want to talk about Vanities briefly. It was made largely in Stockholm, but finished in Los Angeles, right? I don't know either city particularly well. Are they very different kind of places?
Yeah. Yeah, they're very different. I mean, Stockholm is cold and LA is hot. I don't know. They are very different, of course, but I also found similarities in them. This sort of loneliness, I would say. But I'm not sure if it's an analysis of like both cities or if it's just me, you know.
Yeah.
My experience in them, you know. But it still feels, at least they felt similar to me. I could find I found similar, I had the similar feelings in both cities, but it's hard to really explain, actually.
That it was more to do with the feeling you had than the actual city. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, for sure. I mean, both cities are so different. Literally, it's impossible to even compare layout or like people, like, I don't know. It is different, but there is something very lonesome to both, for sure. It's very easy to just be just you and yourself in either one of them. Yeah. It's not something I get in Paris, you know.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, because it doesn't, I mean, maybe what you've said explains it, but I was going to say it doesn't feel like it was made in two places, if you see what I mean. I don't feel like a I don't know, like I could be, well, this part is Stockholm, this part's LA. Do you get that when you listen to it? I mean, obviously you know where it was recorded, but
yeah, I mean, it was mostly made in Stockholm,
right? So,
it was finished, like it was mixed and mastered in LA.
Okay.
Yeah. So the record was done. I mean, there was also another time where I was in LA and I was still kind of working on a track or two, but kind of more because I had to and had a deadline. But it had already been, it was more like editing mode, not really. I didn't write a new song in LA, basically. So it was more like the sort of, it was just interesting to like finalize all the record, and so the mix mastering part, finishing everything in LA after writing and producing in Stockholm for 2.5 years. I don't know, it was just an interesting change of scenery, but also, yeah, very complimentary.
I know you don't have much time, but before we go, I did really want to ask you about the environment, kind of where you grew up, because you grew up in small town France, right?
Yeah.
I have a sort of theory that people who grow up in small towns have a very different relationship with music to people who grow up in cities. Because, like, if you grow up in London or Paris, it's all kind of there. Whereas if you grow up in, you know, whatever small town it isn't. Did it kind of affect how your experience with music?
I mean, I'm sure. It's really hard to tell. I was still in a very musical household because my father is he's like a jazz pianist. It's not his job, but it's something he's been doing forever. And my mother, she plays the accordion. It's random, but very French, maybe. But they just have a very specific view on music. My dad is, it's like, only jazz exists. Fair enough. And my mother is very theory driven. So for the longest time, I used to, music was only like the conservatory.
Right.
And it wasn't very, it was not about being creative at all. For both of them, actually, like, even though it's very different, but my dad only, like, applies, like, specific, like, he only likes jazz and he only plays a certain way, but he's, I wouldn't call him, at least maybe not today, maybe when he was younger, but I wouldn't call him very curious, you know, or very appreciative of other genres. But maybe I'm wrong, but that's how it felt when I was growing up. So, yeah, pop music for him, he's just like, oh, what is this bullshit, you know? I don't know about me being in a small town, because then I moved out when I was 8 something,
right,
to another country in Angola, and there I had MTV. So yeah, because in France we didn't have the like cable, like the all the channels, you know. So in France, yeah, if you're from a small town, yeah, and there's not really concerts, like, it's only what you hear on the radio, you know. But at least my mom, she used to listen to like Norah Jones, so like Madonna. So I still grew up with that a little bit. But it was only when I went to Angola and I had MTV that this was very, broadening, you know. And yeah, it's still mainly like pop rock, or, you know, it's still very like mainstream. But it was still like, oh, wow, all this exists. Very cool. But it was not until I was 18 that I got curious about music as something that I can also do, I guess, or I can use as a language, you know, to say things, tell stories. Or before that, yeah, I was just a mere consumer, or I don't know, not really curious, or, and maybe that's a small town thing. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for everybody.
So last question then. Does your dad like your music? I mean, if he's very much a jazz purist.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
We're estranged.
Oh, okay. So actually, thank you so much for taking the time. You're going to be in Barcelona on the 14th of April at La Nau, which is an absolutely lovely venue. Have you been to La Nau? Do you know?
I don't remember, actually, because I feel like it's not like every venue in Barcelona is made the same, but I always think one is the other, or I don't know.
Right.
Because I know the name, so maybe I have been. Maybe I have played it. I don't think so, but I'm excited, and I love Barcelona people, like Spanish audience in general. They're the best. They're always very, I don't know, cheering and just very nice people. So I'm excited.
Cool. And the day after that in Madrid, Teatro Lara, which I've never been to, so I don't know. You're also playing
neither
Primavera Festival this year. So yeah, lots of opportunities. Malibu,
yeah.
Barbara. Sorry, I feel a bit odd calling you Malibu, although, you know.
Yeah, I know. I always say my name is Barbara. Don't call me Malibu.
Okay, I did, but I got away with it, maybe. Yeah. thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
I'm looking forward to the gig in a couple of months.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Sam.
Have a good day.
You Bye. Too. Bye.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.